Welcome to Talkathon with me, Suleiman. This is Suleiman here, and joining along with me will be my two friends, Aman and Shreyas. And today's special episode is going to be all about the new education policy which has been launched by the Union Ministry. There are multiple talking points that have come into the scene, and to discuss this critical point on education, today we will be having a special guest along with us. He is my schoolmate and also an educator and learning and experience designer. He is the co-founder of an organization called as Infinite Engineers, and for the last 6 years he's into the education space, involving in initiatives and transforming learning experience for children. Hello and welcome to our episode, Harish.
Thank you Suleiman.
Yeah. So before I just go on and dive deep into this whole thing, though we will not be completely, breaking down the policy as there is so much more into it. So we will just be having overall discussion in today's episode, whereby we will be highlighting what can be the best possible outcomes that we can expect from this policy being implemented in the near future, and some of our critical thoughts revolving around with it. And to the best of my understanding, today's session is going to have more or less what is going to be covered will be the point whereby, the breakdown of the education system, especially, from the 10 plus 2, which we have all grown up with, there's going to be a change which is going to be 5 plus 3 plus 3 plus 4, whereby the first 5 years is going to be the foundational education, 3 years of preparatory education, 3 years of middle education, and 4 years of secondary education. And also coming into the scene will be the multiple stream, where the kids are going to be having some flexibility to choose subjects across different streams, and subjects can be offered at different levels for students to gain multiple levels of proficiency in those particular domains. And apart from that, I feel one good thing that is going to be coming is going to be the board exams are going to be less heavier as a burden on the children, whereby it's only going to be a test for their core competencies rather than their capabilities to mug up the whole topic, which has been an age-old practice. And apart from that, we are going to be seeing a different challenge, which is going to be the multilingual, whereby I think there's going to be a three language policy which would be preferred. It's currently a three language policy, but there are certain differences which we will be discussing later on in this podcast. So to start up with, I would like to have Aman, Shreyas and Harish give their opening comments on what they feel on the new education policy that has recently come up into place. In alphabetical order, Aman, you can start in if you want to have starting something.
Thanks, Suleiman. I would like to say it's finally we have a new education policy after 28 years. This is our fourth education policy, so it's a major change by our government, by our education ministry, which is going to be the new name of the HRD ministry now. So, which is a very big event in itself. What I feel for me personally, that the biggest change I feel is the merging of all the streams. Now you're not going to have any difference of any streams. So we can't debate, okay, this stream is the best, this stream is the worst. You are going to consider every subject and important and give respect to every subject which was really needed for a long time. Because we kind of neglected a subject, and later on in the real life we found out that this subject is as important as what we studied. So that's very big takeaway from this education policy for me. Adding to that is at the college level. Now it's like you can drop out at year one, year two and stuff, and come back and resume from the point you dropped out. And based on where you dropped out, you will get some kind of certification, maybe a diploma, maybe a degree. And the research is a very big thing that we are going to have some good changes in the research section itself, whereby they have a central organization for funding researches, and they're making it even more easier for someone who has done a degree to pursue research. So that's a major change for me.
Thank you, Aman. Yes, you did take it up and highlight the important things that are going to be implemented at the college and university levels. Harish, your opening comments in regard to this?
Yes. So my initial feel is that, I mean, there are a lot of positive points. When I go through the whole document, yes, here and there are a lot of points where we need to debate on. But first things first, I could see an initial lot of positive points when they started with the mentioning sustainable development goal number 4, which is quality education, where they said everybody should access this education. It should be equitable and universal access should be there for all. So that's the fundamental opportunity. And the main highlight that I could see is the gross enrollment ratio, which they want to achieve 100% by 2030 for the school education. From preschool up to secondary education, the government has said that we need to achieve 100%, which is a positive note, because a lot has to happen to make sure every child across backgrounds and different demographies should have access to quality education. And that's my initial thought. And obviously there is more holistic nature, because the focus, they're clearly saying that they need to move away from rote-based learning and move towards holistic and skill-based learning, which is what everybody is looking forward to. They also said about 360-degree report card, because we always frightened about our report cards, which only said about our marks. So nothing else was there in our report cards. But here now, we are moving towards a more multi-dimensional report cards, where our skills and talents will also have a place in it. So it's looking healthy, but a lot to debate and discuss on.
Thank you, Harish. It was good to hear your opening comments in regard to the new education policy. Shreyas, I'm sure, you know, sitting in a faraway land, you could have had some glimpse of the changes that are happening here, and you might know what are the standards abroad. So what is your view into the policy, and what has been said until now?
My opinion for this particular change it's a good change, but little more stuff, or a lot more stuff, is yet to be done. I feel that they are benchmarking this particular change with respect to the American system, and personally I feel the American system is not up to that standard. We could actually benchmark it with the German system or the North European system, where after your school you have options of doing three things: and a vocational training, applied science engineering course, or becoming a researcher or taking up a research course. And all for all these three, you can do your own stuff. You do not have to write an examination for it. You have just have to apply. If you apply, if you've got a good marks, you'll just get it. If you don't, you can still apply and get whatever you want. That must be the ultimate goal for our future educational policies. According to me, this is just my personal opinion. And I believe this is a very good stepping stone towards it, because I believe we will be given or the children will be given the opportunity to take up a few vocational courses whilst in their school itself. And then also having a major and a minor in your university is also good, because I've always been hindered with no minor option when I studied engineering, because I wanted to do a minor in political science or in journalism. Unfortunately, our curriculum, our way of setting up the course back in, say, just a decade ago, was not up to that mark. I wanted to do the same similar thing over here in Germany, but what I did was I did a minor in Spanish, so I just learned Spanish over here basically. So that is a very good stepping stone per se, but a lot is desired to be done. A lot is desired still. Just as I said, we should encourage people to take up whatever they want. And another thing is, right now we have changed the system, but the problem is not just the system, but also the access to the system. The last time when we had schools in every place, every village or every township, was when Kamarajar was the chief minister of Tamil Nadu, at least in the Tamil Nadu side. He expanded universal education, especially in Tamil Nadu, where every village will have at least a school. And the policy back then was, when all the villages have reached middle school, then that particular middle school should be upgraded to high school so that they can study further. Such an upgrade has never happened. Many middle schools have closed because all the students have gotten middle school qualification and have had to travel to the next town or the bigger town for the high school and their secondary educations. But the governments, after Kamarajar's government, have not upgraded the schools. That is something which is needed right now. That is something which is very important, because here in Germany, and especially in the North European countries, every town, every small town, even a town with 5,000 people population has a university. And it did not start with a university. It used to be a school, like a primary school, a middle school. And when the population achieved the middle school 100% or 80% rate, they upgraded the middle school to high school. Then when the population achieved the high school 80% rate, they upgraded to secondary education. And when that happened, and then it changed to a vocational training institute. And when people also got vocational training and they desired for more, they upgraded to applied sciences. And a few universities have gotten upgraded to research-based universities. The university which I study right now, it used to be a high school building. And it improved, it was upgraded to a university. That is what is necessary right now. We have a lot of private colleges, yes. But the government institutes and government infrastructure and the government, in German we say Investition, I think in investment, sorry, I forgot in English. The government investment is required in the ground level in order to set up the schools, in order to upgrade every school so that we have government colleges in at least every taluk, if not district.
Thank you, Shreyas, for your opening comments. It's great to know, you know, the differences in education across different continents or different places on the same planet that we live in. And the main thing that I see, you know, it's going to take some time for change to come into place, and you know, for this new education policy also to be understood made into a good implementation. So Harish, what do you foresee that could be the challenges that we could be seeing in the very near future that could be a big burden on the schools, or it could be on the parents or the children themselves, to adapt to?
So I basically feel, I mean, this is the initial policy that's been there now, and it needs to convert into a curriculum framework. So we call it as NCF. So this policy needs to be adapted by both central and state government and made into a curriculum framework, which needs to be first understood first. And that's the more important thing. And it needs to be debated and discussed. And then there should be an implementation going on. So the first step is we just started. I mean, it's just the beginning, where it needs to convert into a curriculum framework where government has a role to stay both state and central. And the main thing is, I mean, even you consider just a school as a system, these things are too challenging to implement. I mean, be it skill-based learning, experiential learning, hands-on, holistic report card, even a small change within a small system is challenging, as we all know. But it takes a lot of training and ownership of it. I mean, because first, every teacher, every student, parent, stakeholder should be brought and spread awareness like any mass campaign or any advertisements. I mean, I don't see a lot of policies being advertised or like in terms of spreading awareness to the community first. First, it needs to be translated into all the languages where people could read. Unfortunately, this draft is not translated into Tamil, where the separate people are doing it now. Organizations, NGOs are doing it. I feel that's the starting step to spread awareness, debate, accept certain opinions, and then frame action plans. Government has kept a timeline of over, like, starting from next year till 2030, different timelines, but every state and every system has a different challenges based on their geography. So we need to all consider that and give autonomy to states to frame their action plans and a review system on what are the challenges. And every state could learn from each other. I mean, we are always working on silos where we are different countries like that, but we need to learn from each other's even mistakes, success, and then come to a common learning at the end of the day.
Yeah, man, you wanted to add something, I guess, to this? You were raising your hand.
Yeah, I'm saying there are some challenges even I see from my own experiences. For example, this is a new system, okay, in school. For example, I'll say my experience when I went to college, okay. So there was a different system whereby you need to do projects and internships and stuff like that. And personally, I was really clueless because at the school level, we never did these type of things. Okay, so what to do, what topic to choose. It was really a, you know, like going into the unknown. And I feel the students who will come into this system and teachers also will face that kind of situation here. And it will take some time, a year or two, to get you know, adjusted to this particular system. Another thing is about the languages. You know, the mother tongue education till 5th standard. Now, it's really easy if a particular place has a particular mother tongue, wherever people have the same mother tongue. But for example, let's say metropolitan areas, like if I talk about Delhi, if I talk about Chennai, if I talk about Mumbai. Now, here, people don't have the same mother tongue. Naturally, like in Mumbai, Delhi, there are Bengalis, there are people from Tamil Nadu, there are people who have Haryanvi and Punjabi and stuff like that. So what language we follow in school? Same like ways goes for Chennai also. So that's another challenge you need to see, because it's not that much clear the draft also, like what exactly is going to take place there. So that's one thing.
Yes, yes, you can add your point.
Yeah, I would like to reply to what Aman actually asked. That is a similar situation which we have here in, excuse me, in Europe. We have, especially if you consider a country like Spain, there are languages-based regions, you know, Catalan, Basque, and others. And also in Germany, we have this metropolitan city where German-speaking majority is there, but there are also a lot of other language speakers, like in Berlin, for example, you have a lot of Turkish, Arabic, Indians as well. So the key would be, I would say, taking up the regional language of the location, of the place where it is in. And I probably guess that every state will take its own language as the regional language, the majority language as the regional language. And it would give the education in all of the state in that particular regional language. That is what I guess. So probably you can expect more of Kannada speaking or Kannada education in places where Konkani is spoken or Tulu is spoken, for example. So that would really be a big clash of languages, yes, and clash of the communities, at least in the grassroots level. So that would be like the government has shifted the focus from the nationalizing of the language and the national level of language tussle between the southern languages and Hindi speakers to a much more grassroots level of within the districts. So it's like just passing the buck. But I believe that is what is going to happen, where the state governments would be in charge of which language they would be taking up in the school level, and most of the state governments will go for their own language. So expect UP, Bihar taking up Hindi instead of Magadhi or any other language, and expect Tamil Nadu to talk about Tamil everywhere, Malayalam everywhere in Kerala, Karnataka, Kannada everywhere in Karnataka. Probably Goa would go for Konkani, I hope, not Portuguese. And then even Maharashtra, there's the problem, right? The coastal areas actually speak Konkani, and Mumbai being a Gujarati majority would still go for Marathi because sentimental and political activism would be there. So that you can expect a lot of things like that happening at the grassroots level. So the language tussle might shift to the grassroots level. That's the political side of things. But expect the implementation to be more like in Spain, where yes, Catalan is your mother tongue, but you still have to learn Spanish. So something like that would happen.
Oh, thank you, Shreyas, on giving an insight onto that. I see a few challenges, especially in regard to this language selection specifically. I see that, you know, there could be an option whereby kids get to choose the language of their choice in which they could be given their primary education, because thereby in future when they will be going on, you know, probably from as per the 5 plus 3 plus 3, for the moment they finish 5 and they move on to their continuous education on from the third segment, which is actually coming, or probably the sixth segment, which is going to be coming. It is going to be difficult for them to switch between languages in that case. So I would actually give it as an option that, you know, if possible, there should be one holistic medium of education which the child can choose from the earlier classes, so that he or she gets to you know, excel in that particular language and be comfortable in understanding the same. Also, when it comes to learning at home, because most of the learning now with the technology and the thing is going to be happening, more learning is going to be happening at home, there might be challenges to cater the need of the child in, you know, coaching these languages. So overall, I feel there should be an option for the children to choose their language of preference. For example, I will give you a very basic challenge that might come into the scene. For anybody to actually qualify for Unani courses, you know, like BUMS, particularly Bachelor of Unani Medical Sciences, it is very much important for them to know Urdu. So now if you actually go by these languages, on which basis will you have people who will be taking Unani courses? So, you know, there are multiple challenges which will come alongside this. Rather, there should be options for you know, students to choose their language of choice. I leave the floor open on this topic, and I know this is a very big debatable topic. If we keep going deeper and deeper, and this one podcast is not enough for us to, you know, come to a conclusion, and this is just a draft policy if I am not wrong, and unless and until it becomes a complete act, you know, and the whole thing is being published, it is going to take some time and there will be revolutions in this, but all that we can do is just wait and watch in the direction in which this particular thing goes, as long as it does not become a national debate which Arnav keeps shouting on top of his voice. Okay, so the other thing which I wanted to, you know, highlight is that it's good to see that there is going to be a lot of technology driven procedures, such as, you know, like technology in educational planning, technology in teaching and learning, or even in the assessment of children, or, you know, increasing the access to different things. Virtual labs will be coming up, but are we equipped enough to actually, you know, take this technology into hand or technology into school? Already we have seen that, you know, many private schools tried to bring in smart classes or all those things, and it was a very big challenge, and for many of the parents it became burdensome to actually bear the cost that was incurred because of the smart classes adding on to the curriculum. So how do you see that this technology based advancement is going to merge along with the upcoming education system, and what are going to be the challenges that you personally feel? I guess Harish can give his insight because he works more with the technology forefront as well.
Sure, Suleiman. I mean, I could see the present COVID situation is a testimony for that, because as per recent document that they have released based on page, they have said around 260 million students have been affected by this. I mean, they are not in school in India, like almost like 26 crores, and they are not inside the school, but they are somehow trying to learn through online, where it is mostly not happening. And they have clearly like structured families into different segments, right from having laptops, smartphones, to the family where there is not even a cable connection. So we have huge extremes of families living even in a metropolitan city like Chennai. So I think we need to address both the spectrums. I feel I could also see a recent news where a family sold a cow to buy an online a smartphone. So that news was spreading, and there are parents who are trying their best to give the best to the children. That is what we are seeing now. And but government should also take this very seriously in terms of spreading the digital infrastructure at a free cost. First of all, if not even affordable, it should be free, because this is a fundamental right. I mean, accessing digital content, it's now becoming a fundamental right. So it should be free and accessible to everybody, and then only we could even speak about all these, because without even accessing it, we can't even think about how this is going to be. It's good to review for certain sector of people who are able to access it, but for others, they should not feel discriminated. I mean, it's called digital discrimination, where they're not given access to it. So that's worrying sign in a country and diverse like India. I hope government also releases policies and to scale up the digital infrastructure as soon as possible.
Yeah, thank you, Harish. You know, it's a very valid point that you made. If you want to grow on the digital forefront, we need to have the hardware and the basic amenities to start up with. So something which I want to, you know, like discuss in the last 5-10 minutes is going to be the university level education. It is good to see that, you know, like there are going to be uniformities in the course level descriptions. Specifically, I think UG programs are going to be up to 4 years, and you know, you're going to have your PG program for 2 years, and I think MPhil program is totally going to be scrapped or discontinued, and there are going to be a lot of credit transfers, and you know, we might be moving into a credit based system as what is seen with most of the developed countries. So Shreyas, I think you might be the right person to give us a short insight onto what you feel in regard to this. Obviously, we did have a opening comment where you briefed us in regard to this, but how do you see the challenges in the Indian background?
Well, the challenge, there are a lot of challenges, you see. First and foremost, the challenge comes from the home, where our parents will always say, go for engineering regardless of what, don't take any minors, don't get yourself distracted. So that mindset should go off. It will take a lot of time for that mindset to go. That's the first. And secondly, whatever you do, you need to, you are, all of our society goes behind running for jobs. Yeah. So at the end of the day, you need to provide right opportunity for the students. It may be public or private enterprises, but the right opportunity for the students, right encouragement for the students to say, if you do this, if you do that, you'll get a job, you'll get so much of money, blah, 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 blah. That basic infrastructure, or that particular infrastructure, or that particular flow should be established, or should be thought of before establishing all the you know, system, basically. Because you should always think about the end picture and the big picture. That will be a huge cause of concern, because India has become, let's face it, India has become more of a manufacturer than a researcher. We do not do big amounts of research. Yes, we have world class undercoats level of organizations in DRDO or ISRO. ISRO is definitely one. Then we have BARC, and then IGCIR. But the level or the amount of research done there is, let's face it, it's a fraction of what the global research is. And we need to ensure that the students at school and the colleges are also given the exposure in the research facilities or in the manufacturing facilities, get the practical sense in their brain first. That's what I like about the German system as well. Once you finish your school, you are given three options, okay? You can either do an vocational. You can either do a vocational work inside the company, where the company sponsors, trains you. You can work there for 1.5 years, and then the company sponsors you to do vocational studies, or applied sciences studies. Okay, that is one. Another thing. Second option, where the students are given, you can directly go into vocational studies. And through, when you go into the vocational studies, the college sends you to a local industry to study, to learn from there. And third, you can do a university study, but also when you do a university study, you should parallelly work, do a part-time in the industry as an internship or a work student, where you get to know the industry and how it works, and you can also compare your theory and your practical there, and which also gives you an opportunity to enter the company. A friend of mine, she studied here all her life, which is a German, of course, and she was doing her work student at Volkswagen from her second year of engineering. No, sorry, she was doing sales management, right? Yeah. And then after her bachelor's got finished, the company confirmed her, and she's right now a project manager in Volkswagen. So something like that should happen. From what I know, we still do not have an encouragement for the student to go and do their vocational studies in the industry. There's not much of an interaction with the industry.
Shreyas, I second your point, you know, and I totally believe that, you know, there's a big gap between academia at university level and the industry requirements, especially in India, be it the challenges that we face in the healthcare segment, a little in the pharmaceutical industry level, or be it, you know, at engineering level, where, you know, high-end programming is what is being majorly spoken about, whereas not much of it is actually, you know, thought about at university level. There is a huge academia industry gap, which is very difficult for, you know, young graduates to bridge, or, you know, it puts them into a lot of pressure when they move up their ladder. Already the 12 years of education has been a mess. We might be less burdening them now with this new change which might be coming in, but then again, more and more, you know, the pressure, depressurizing will be the major focus, I feel, and it should be the talk of the town now. Aman, I've been seeing you wanted to add something.
Yeah, I've heard certain things about the German education system, like the culture itself. In India, people are behind engineering, not just because everybody wants to do engineering, because their parents want them to have very stable jobs, like with a very respectable job. In Germany, a person who is doing vocational, or someone who is making a career in carpentry or plumbing, are given the same respect the society as a researcher or a scientist or an engineer. Same thing is not happening in India. So that's why that change is there. In India, if
ahead,
we need
Shreyas.
To change that...
Go ahead, Shreyas. I've been seeing a point here.
I agree with that, Aman. But there's another key component there why all the jobs are respected the same way in Germany. You have something called the Minimum Wage Act here. And any person who has physical work to be done, they have to be paid this much of hourly pay, and with respect to that you get the respect for it. In India we don't have any Minimum Wage Act. I'm pretty sure at least for next 20-25 years we would not be having any Minimum Wage Act, because of we are a manufacturing based sector or service based sector we have. That's why.
Okay.
So that's what I wanted to point out over here.
No, I agree. I agree. It is a different challenge when it comes on to the work domain specifically, and that is not the scope of today's podcast. So we actually had an overall talk, you know, like from what could be the education in the near future and what could be the challenges that we could be seeing with the implementation of the new education policy 2020. It's been a tough time for us all amidst this COVID pandemic. I would firstly like to thank Harish for, you know, bringing in some time amidst his busy schedule to, you know, give us some inputs on this topic. Shreyas, sorry for waking you up amidst your deep sleep and, you know, asking you to speak. And Aman, amidst your busy weekend. So anyways, before we wrap up onto this and going on to the closing comments, I would also like to say that this is going to be the first episode of a kind whereby our listeners are going to be sending in their audio clips, and it will be plugged on towards the end of the podcast. So don't miss out in listening to the you know, views that our listeners have to say. So wrapping on this podcast, I would like to have some closing comments from our team. This time I'm going to be going in the reverse alphabetical order, which is not the usual trend. So Shreyas, your closing comments.
My closing comment would be similar to the opening comment as well, because it's a good start, but a lot of things are to be done. So well begun, half done would be the best one to be said with respect to this. As a policy, as a draft policy, it looks promising, but the key is implementation. The devil lies in the detail, and the detail is implementation. I just read the news today or yesterday, I don't remember, that the state government of Karnataka has scrapped its or has planned to merge its education policy, which they had drafted, with the national education policy, and probably will be the first government or first state to implement this particular policy. So we already have found our bakra. Let's see how it how they implemented and what the results of the said implementation are. And as Harish mentioned, we should actually take benchmark out of the, especially good benchmarks, and learn from the mistakes. That's something which many governments with respect to education policy have not done well. We also had a draft new education policy about 10-15 years ago in Tamil Nadu, where all the curriculums were merged together, but they took a horrible benchmark of state syllabus instead of the central government syllabus, and it did not yield the desired result. So the devil is always in detail, it's in the implementation. And let's face it, for last 6 years our implementation has always been bad, especially with the central government. Example would be the GST. So let's see how they implement, and the implementation should also be open-minded for changes further down the line.
Thank you, Shreyas, for your closing comments. And up to Harish, what do you have to say while we wrap up on this episode?
Yes, I mean, it looks good to read on a paper, because I had my tears rolling out when I could read certain things, because we have been through this education system. But as Shreyas said, it's all involved in taking ownership of it, because every detail needs to be understood by all the stakeholders, even by the children, I used to say, because children are not even part of in the decision making process. So they know the policy has done, but all this implementation has done by the adults. So even sort of a debate like this within a school or online session would create more awareness to it. And obviously looking forward to the implementation steps by the state government and the further plans, because we could know the real implementation plan and comment on it. But looks fine on certain aspects which are needed for the 21st century, there is no doubt about that. But the real challenges in how we are going to implement, and I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you, Harish. Aman, on your final comments.
Yeah, as Harish pointed out, for me it was a very bittersweet moment, because we all have been through this education system, and we secretly prayed for some of the things which have been there in the policy. But again, I want to point out that certain supporting policies should come up in order to this being a success. And another thing is, it should not take a long time for another education policy to come up, because as things are changing so fast, I think every 4-5 years there should be an update in the education policy. It's compulsory. In this education policy, it's good that if, for example, I need to study something about sustainable fashion, I can study about that, because due to the different combination of subjects and stuff like that. So it does open a very big access, or a very big opportunity for education system in such short.
Thank you, Aman. It was good to hear from you on a very short point. However, before I close, I would like to say that, the main target should be focused on, improving the quality of education, and making it accessible, as we started off with, and ensuring the fact that the students are depressurized, whereas the focus is not just education-based development, but an overall development which would actually benefit in a student's career throughout his education turn up at schools or at university level. So let us hope for the best to come in the upcoming days. With this, I would like to sign up on this episode of the podcast. Do let me know your views, your comments in regard to this education policy. I would be glad to hear from you in the next episode. Thank you, Suleiman Seth, signing off. Thank you.